Just because I love saying it, hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, I yearn for the day when the whole church can just reverberate with you shouting that back. But the Lord be with you. So a big thank you to Greg and Raquel for bringing in the lamb. This past week, I called up Raquel, and when I asked her to bring in the lamb, I also asked, you know, in the scripture it says the good shepherd lays down their life for the sheep. I asked her, so you ever lay down your life for the sheep? She says, well, wolves aren't really a problem the way they used to be back in Jesus' time. But she did say, let me tell you what my week leading up to Easter was like. It's lambing season, and this year we got a particularly big ram to mate with all the ewes. And it meant that we had particularly big lambs, and they sort of struggled to come out of their mom. Sometimes their hooves would be back, or they'd be upside down, and they just wouldn't come out. And so she said every 2 weeks from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., I would go and I would check on the sheep, on these ewes who were preparing to give birth. And she said, when I would see one that gets stuck in there, she said, I would have to help the mom give birth. And to do that, she said, I would reach my arm up inside the sheep. She'd say, all the way up to my shoulder. And I'd get covered in, well, you know, stuff that comes out of that end of a sheep. Poo and blood and birthing fluid. And she'd try to turn the lamb around, get its legs in the right spot. And sometimes the lamb isn't enthused about this process, isn't fighting back. And often the mom, even though she's trying to help the mom, the ewe doesn't like this process either and will start tearing off down the field with Raquel inside her, and Raquel will get dragged through the mud. She said, so, you know, I will say to myself in those moments, like, how did my life end up this way? She said, I guess that's laying down my life for the sheep. And I said, well, that sounds like, you know, maybe you could have your employees do that, have a hired hand do that work so you don't have to. And she said, look, nothing against hired hands. She said, actually, we learned to care for our sheep from employees that we hired years ago, and they taught us what we know about caring for sheep, but they've long since left, and now we've stuck around, and we are the ones who know our sheep. We know what to look for when they're pregnant and about to give birth. We know what's a matter of concern. And because we know our sheep, we know how to care for them. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he says, I know my own, and my own know me. And it's because he knows them that he knows how to care for his sheep and how to heal them. Now, during the season of Easter, these 7 weeks of Easter, we hear our first reading is always from the book of Acts. It's about how the disciples live after the resurrection. And what we hear this week in Acts is that the people who are supposed to be the shepherds of God's flock don't know enough about God's flock to care for them. You see, there is a man who can't walk, and he's lying in front of the temple, and the disciples, Peter and John, they say to him, you know, we don't have gold or silver, but they offer him healing in the name of Jesus, and he stands up and he walks, and the crowd celebrate this. And then the high priests and the elders, the people who are supposed to be in charge of religion, right, the people who are supposed to be God's representatives, they hear about this, and they're like, what is going on? And so they arrest Peter and John. And having arrested them, they interrogate them. They say, by what power and what name did you heal this man? They don't know. They don't know how healing happens because they don't know their flock. And so Peter's response is to say, like, what, really? We're getting arrested for doing a good deed? But okay, if you want to know why, he says, this man was healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then Peter goes on to say, and it is in this name only through which we are saved. And in English, it sounds like those are two different things that the name of Jesus does. It sounds like Jesus' name heals, and it sounds like Jesus' name saves. But in Greek, in Peter's speech, in the original Greek, those two words, healed and saved, They're the exact same word. The word is sozdo. If you were to spell that in English, it would be S-O-Z-O, sozdo. And sozdo, yes, it means to save, but it means to save by making something whole. You see, Peter is trying to explain to the chief priests that this man was healed because he was made whole, because he was saved in Jesus. That our salvation isn't just making whole our relationship between ourselves and God. Our salvation is making whole our relationship with ourselves, and it's also making whole our relationship with the people around us, with our neighbors. And when I talked to Raquel, and she said she was struggling inside this ewe to bring forth this baby lamb to life, she said sometimes, even after all that struggle, the lamb will die. Sometimes still in the mom, but she keeps fighting to bring the lamb out because she wants to save the life of the mother ewe. And she said that this past year, indeed, this happened. There was a stillbirth, a lamb, and when she brought it out, there was a second lamb inside. And she drew forth that second lamb. And now, am I correct? That's this lamb, is that second lamb. And she explained to me that perhaps because of the trauma of losing her first child, but that ewe, that mother sheep, didn't produce milk. That mother sheep wanted to care for this lamb in every way that a mother sheep should, but just physically her body wouldn't produce the milk needed to feed this lamb. And so as you saw, Raquel each day takes a bottle and feeds the lamb so that then she can return it to its mother. Because healing for this lamb is not just successfully making it out of the womb, it's not just getting fed, it's being returned to the flock in which it belongs. And Raquel says this is true not just for this one mom and this one lamb, but as she said in the children's sermon, sometimes all the moms will lose their lambs. And she'll wake up in the middle of the night, Greg, and they'll go out with flashlights because they hear the moms crying out for their babies, and they'll have to find where these baby lambs have fallen asleep and bring them back to their mothers, bring them back to their flocks. As she said, the most important part of taking care of a lamb is taking care of the moms, helping the ewes be the mothers that God intended. Salvation for the lamb is making whole its relationship with its flock. And that is true for us as well. Jesus saves us, yes, by making whole our relationship with God, but Jesus continues our process of salvation by trying to make whole our relationship with each other. So in the very same passage, when he tells his disciples that he will lay down his life for them, he then tells the disciples that there are other flocks, which they don't know, and that Jesus has to go and get those flocks as well so that there can be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus makes everything in our relationship with God right and whole. But then he sends us out in his name to make whole our relationships with our neighbors. And I realized this past week, as like much of the world, I was holding my breath, waiting to hear the verdict for the trial of Derek Chauvin around the murder of George Floyd. I realized I was holding my breath because I was hoping that a jury, by its conclusion, would bring healing to the racial wounds in our country. And as I sat with that, and after the verdict came out, I realized that though it was an important step, I could not expect one judgment in one moment of time to heal centuries of brokenness. And that perhaps my very desire for that is the problem this country has been wrestling with, where in recent decades we have asked unfairly of our police officers to be the ones to try to save our society by addressing the ills of America in moments of crisis, when in fact true healing requires day in and day out relationship and attentiveness with each and every segment of our society, right? To be a good shepherd, to bring wholeness and healing, requires a willingness not to show up just in that one moment, but every day, every 2 hours, checking on the sheep and saying, this moment, am I called to reach up inside into this womb that is meant to bring forth life, but in this moment is bringing forth death? Am I called to be willing to cover myself in the poo of our past, in the blood of our present, in the birthing fluid of our future, truly, to wrestle forth life from death, and maybe even get dragged through the mud when the society that we are trying to heal doesn't want our help? And even when we have done all that, the process isn't even done. Because then there is the feeding and the finding day after day. We have been trying to do the work of a good shepherd by giving it off to hired hands. But praise be to God, we have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd in Jesus Christ who is willing to reach into the tomb, who was willing to cover himself in all our sin and shame, who is willing to wrestle forth those of us who are stuck in sin, dying, to bring us out into new life. And then, not even then is Jesus finished. For when he comes forth from the resurrection, his work is not yet done. He feeds us with his body and his blood. He goes forth to find us when we are lost, to bring these flocks that have become separated over centuries and say, you are one, and it is only one that you might find wholeness together. This is what the Good Shepherd does for us. And today, we are going to baptize Kendall Stafford. Kendall, would you mind waving your hand? We're going to baptize Kendall, and in these waters of baptism, Jesus promises to be forever her Good Shepherd, to lay down his life for her, to bring her forth into life, to wrestle her free from sin and death, to lead her into the green pastures of his freedom, to lay down his life for her so that when he raises up his life, she might rise with him. But to say all those promises that are found in baptism, those aren't just between Jesus and Kendall. We baptize in the midst of the congregation because in baptism we recognize that Kendall is now one with Christ, just as we are one with Christ. And if Kendall is part of Jesus' body and we are part of Jesus' body, then we are part of one body together. Our wholeness cannot be separated from Kendall's wholeness. And that is true for all God's children. And so our good shepherd calls us to be shepherds, to tend to one another, on that ongoing daily process of love and commitment that gets us mucky and dirty, but brings forth life. That is what Jesus calls us to do in the waters of baptism. That is what Jesus will call Kendall to do, what Jesus has called each and every one of us to do. And I will admit, it sounds like a daunting calling. But when I asked Raquel, I said, surely this is an unpleasant task, being a shepherd. She said, no, it's not unpleasant. She said, I get anxious sometimes, you know, because I care so much about these sheep. She says, look, I know what the futures of these sheep are, right? They're all going to get eaten and served on a table. But she says, even knowing the brevity of their life, I can't help but want to take care of them, want to love them, want what is best for them. And she says, it is such a thrill to get to save a lamb's life by restoring it to a mother. She said, it's the greatest adrenaline rush. She says, no, it's not unpleasant. She says, no, I don't want to give away this job. But what she said is, I do wish everyone had the opportunity to experience the joy of being a good shepherd. siblings in Christ, this is what our good shepherd gives us. Not only all the love and care of a shepherd willing to lay down his life for us, but an invitation to experience the joy of being a good shepherd also in caring for one another. May we accept that calling and share in our wholeness and healing together. Amen.